Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Mem Beis. We missed a really geshmaka daf yesterday, daf Kuf Mem Aleph, but we're not done with it yet. We left off in the middle of daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amen Beis, and we were discussing the following issue. The Gemara had stated that Mezaka Lu'ubar is lo kana, that if a person tries to be makna something to a fetus, the fetus does not have the ability to be kona something until it's born. So as a fetus, it can't be kona anything. So the Gemara had asked, what do you mean? In our Mishnah, we said that if a man says, Im yolda ishti zachar yitol mana, yolda zachar notol mana, that if a man says that if my wife gives birth to a baby boy, that the boy should get $100, so then when the boy comes out, he gets $100. So you see that the kinyan is happening while he's still an uber, while he's still a fetus. So how can you say that hamazakalu uber lo kana? You see from there, from our Mishnah itself, that hamazakalu uber is in fact kana. So it says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to provide seven answers to this question. So yesterday we did the first two answers to the question. The first answer is we suggested maybe. We assume, like Reb Meir, that other makna dover shalom b'liolam, that you're allowed to make a kinyan on a dover shalom b'liolam, something that does not yet exist. And the Gemara says, yes, you can make a kinyan on a dover shalom b'liolam, but you can't be makna lidover shalom b'liolam. And the ubar is one of the parties of the kinyan over here is not b'liolam. It's not that the object of the kinyan is not b'liolam, but the actual kona is not b'liolam. That's much worse. So then the Gemara suggested, maybe our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosihi, that holds that an Uber is Kona, that holds that an Uber is able to be Kona, because we learned in the Mishnah, and we didn't get a chance to explain this well yesterday, so we'll say it again, we learned in the Mishnah, Uber posel ve'eno machil divrei Rabbi Yosi, about 15 lines before the end of the page on Kuf Mem Aleph and Beis, that we learned in the Mishnah that an Uber can passel someone from Truma, and can't be ma'achil truma, according to Rabbi Yossi, and somehow from that line in that Mishnah, we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that an uber can be kona. So what's that line in the Mishnah about? So Rashbam fills in the details a little bit. If you look at the Rashbam, ditnan, beperek almana, biyavamus, bas Yisrael, shenises l'kohen. We're dealing with a girl who's a bas Yisrael, marries a kohen, Umeis, the Kohen dies, v'inichamu uberes, and he leaves his Bas Yisrael wife pregnant. Lo yochlu avadeho b'truma v'bnei chelko shel uber. So her avadim cannot eat truma because of the uber's chelak in the truma. Meaning as long as there's a Kohen in the family, so that should be allowed, that should be enough to be machil her avadim truma. But over here, there's an unborn Kohen in the family. Can Farisha, some of the Gemara explains over there, do Uber bime'e zara zarhu. So long as he's still a fetus, even though once he's born he's going to be a Kohen, because his father was a Kohen, so long as he's still a fetus, he has a din of a zar. Shu Uber posel veinu machil divir Rabbi Yossi. What does it mean, posel veinu machil? Kolomar. Shu Uber shenis abri Yisraelis mikohen baila shemes, he's going to passel the Eved from eating Truma because he's considered a Zar. And therefore you can't say that you wouldn't be able to apply to him the pasuk of Yelid Beso, that someone who's born into your house can go and eat the Truma. Because he's not a Kohen until he comes out. That's what it means, posel, that he passels the avadim. And what's ve'eno machil? Ve'eno machil is imo Yisraelis she'ibarto mekohen. He can't be machil his mother, who's the Yisraelis, who was impregnated by a kohen. She's not allowed to eat truma either. De'kaimelan hasam she'ochelus b'truma b'shvil b'na kohen, kilo bala kohen chai. Typically, if a woman was married to a kohen, and she has children from the kohen, she has boys from the kohen, so her sons are kohanim, even though her husband dies, she's still allowed to eat truma on account of her children. But over here, she doesn't have any live children. She just has a fetus. So that fetus is not enough to feed the mother truma. Kedukhsiv yilid beso heim yochlu b'lachmo aval uber lo. Desfri lele Rabbi Yossi uber b'mei zara zarhu, because so long as he's still a fetus, he's not a kohen. Kedemifarishasam shamin. So what's the bottom line? What are we trying to prove? Shamin and miha, do uber yeshlo chelek b'mei imo ba'avdei aviv shemeis. He says, wait a second. These avadim belong to his father, right? They belonged to a Kohen. So they should have been able to eat truma. Why can't the avadim eat truma? It's because the Ubar has some connection to those Avadim. Apparently, he owns those Avadim. And so long as he's an Ubar, he's not a Kohen. So right now, these Avadim are owned by a non-Kohen. So what do you see? That the Uber has a kinyan, that the Uber is able to be kona, the avadim. So that's what we see from Rabbi Yossi, that an Uber has ownership. Now this is only a raya according to this interpretation of that Mishnah, that when we say that an Uber posel, it means that he passels avadim from eating truma, because that's the whole raya, that he owns the avadim. Tosus points out that Rashi in Yevamos of Samach Zayin really explains the line posel as being totally different, that the line of posel does not refer to avadim at all, that both the line of posel and both lines in the Mishnah where it says that he's posel and the line that says eino machil, both refer not to avadim but both refer to the mother. They just refer to two separate cases. Right, Tosus quotes from Rashi in Yevamos that posel es imo kohenes imhu zar ve'eino machil es imo imhu kohen b'me'ei zara. Posel is referring to if his mother is a kohenes, meaning his mother is a bas kohen, and she was married to a non-kohen. So you might think, well, normally a woman is married to a bas kohen, married to a non-kohen, her husband dies, and she does not have any children. She goes back to her father's house and eats the truma at her father's house. So says Rashi, you know what posel means? That if she's pregnant with someone who's going to be a kohen when he's born, she's not allowed to go back to her father's house and eat truma. Nothing to do with avadim. And machil is like the Rashbam explains it, that if she was a Bas Yisrael and the husband was a Kohen, so eino machil, that on account of the Uber, till he's born, she's not allowed to eat truma on account of her baby. But according to that, Tosos points out, there would be no raya in this Gemara. If you learn pshat that it has nothing to do with avadim, we have no raya whether an Uber, whether mezakel Uber is kana or not. So let's stick with the Rashbam's pshat to make our Gemara work. So the Gemara answered, no, it's not necessarily a raya that a mezakel Uber is kana. Shani Yerusha Abba Me'eleha. That was different. Rabbi Yossi was dealing with a case of Yerusha that happens automatically. Meaning it may be one thing that an Uber gets kinyanim in that which he is omed lirosh, in that which he is ready to yarshin. But that does not necessarily mean that he's also going to get kinyanim if you want to stambi makna gift to an Uber. That's a whole different ballgame. That's much more difficult to make a kinyan on something that is not coming to him necessarily. So that's not a raya to the broader topic of mezakel Uber. Okay, so the Gemara is going to make suggestion number 3 of what our Mishnah might be talking about when our Mishnah seems to assume, or who might be the author of our Mishnah when our Mishnah seems to assume that mezakel Uber is kone. So says the Gemara, b'leimele Rabbi Yochanan Brokehi. Maybe it's assuming like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who we've been quoting for the last 30 blad already. Damar lo shna Yerusha v'lo shna Matana. Rabbi Yochanan Broka holds that you're allowed to take a ben bein habanim, you're allowed to identify one of your yorshim and say this yorish is going to get more than the others. And you're allowed to give him as much as you want. And whether you say a b'loshon Yerusha or whether you say a b'loshon Matana doesn't matter. Ditnan Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer im Amar al Misha roi liyarsho dvar v'kayamin. As long as it's someone who's roi to yarshin you, so it's going to work. You're allowed to identify someone as being the one who's going to yarshin you. So you see that then the Gemara is assuming that roi liyarsho means even an Uber. Even if the Ra'i Liyarsho, who you decide to give more money to than the rest of the brothers, happens to be only a fetus at this point. Even then, you have the control to be able to do that. So you see that maybe when our Mishnah says that Im Yalda Ishti Zachar, that he should get $100, and we assume it works, maybe that's like Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that to identify Yorish Bein HaYarshim as receiving more money, that's okay, even if it's an Uber. So answers the Gemara, Eimer Deshamele Rabbi Yochanan Baroka L'davar Sheyesh Ba'olam, L'davar She'enu Ba'olam Mi Amar. No, when did Rabbi Yochanan Baroka say that? He never said it by a fetus. He was talking about giving it to a Davar Sheyeshna Ba'olam, giving it to a Yoresh who's already alive, already exists. Rabbi Yochanan Broka never said this about giving to a Yoresh who's not yet born, who doesn't exist. That's an assumption we made, and that assumption is totally off base. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim over here, what the Shakla Vitaria exactly is over here, what the Maskana of Rabbi Yochanan Broka is over here. The Shidum Betzos quotes from the Rush that the Gemara changed its mind in how to understand Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. At first we thought that Rabbi Yochanan Baroka was assuming that the hanchala that you give to one child over the others, if you identify that one child is going to get more than the others, that all happens b'toras Yerusha. That a person has the right to take someone who's ra'ili Yarsho and b'toras Yerusha alter the percentages of the Yerusha that go to the different children. So to take a Yoresh and let him be Yoresh, not as a matana, but let him be Yoresh, other nechasim as well. So the Gemara says, so an Ubar is considered royally Yarsho. And therefore, apparently you could do this for an Ubar as well. And the Gemara's answer, says the Shittim Betzas in the name of the Tosa Rush, is that no, the Hanchal of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is not Betoros Yerusha. It's Betoros Matana. So you can't be Morish to Misha Eino Ba'olam through Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka because it's not a Yerusha. Yes, an Ubar is royally Lirash. He's royally to receive Yerusha. But he's not ready to receive a matana. So you can't alter the percentages of the Yerusha, because whenever you do that, you're really giving a matana. And that's why it's invalid according to the Tosa Rush. The Ran, however, says, no, that the Gemara never changed its mind. The Hanchala of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka is Bitoras Yerusha. We just never find that the Hanchala is going to work for someone. We only find that the Hanchala is going to work for somebody who's ready to be Yoresh right now, a Yerusha de Memela, and therefore you'd be allowed to be Marbelo to change the percentages and let the guy who anyway is ready to be Yoresh at this moment and give him a little bit extra. But an Ubar, granted, he has a shame Yoresh, because eventually when he's born, he does receive a share in the Yerusha. Right? You have to keep that in mind. If a man dies and he leaves a pregnant wife, even though he has other children, that baby, when it comes out, does receive a chelik in the Yerusha. So an Uber definitely has a shame Yoresh. But right now, he's not a bar Yerusha. Right now, he can't receive Yerusha, and therefore, he's not subject to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's din that you're allowed to alter the percentages of the Yerusha and give him a little bit extra. So that's the sheet of the Ran, that even the Maskana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's altering the percentages and changing the amount that each one gets, even that is B'toras Yerusha. So Rav Elchanan writes in Kovetz Shiurim, so the Rush and the Ran seem to be arguing what the Hanchala of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka is. According to the Ran, it's Yerusha. According to the Rosh, it's Matana. Nafkamina is, if you can do a Hanchala on a Davar Shalo Baliolam, right? On a Davar that's Lo Baliolam so far. Because if it's Begeder Yerusha, so you could be Morish. And if it's Begeder Matana, so you can't give a Matana on Davar Shalo Baliolam. Also, can you be Manchil Bal Karchu of the Yoresh? If it's Begeder Yerusha, it would work. If it's Begeder Matana, it doesn't work. So it really matters what this din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka we've been talking about for 30 blad already. How does it work? Is it a din Yerusha or is it a din Matana? So it seems to be a fundamental machlokas in the Rishonim. Okay, but either way, we're still on the search looking for who could possibly be the author of our Mishnah that holds Mizakalu Uberkana. So says the Gemara, fourth possibility. Velemele Rabbi Yochanan Brokehi, the Savalak Rabbiosi. Okay, we didn't like the fact that it was Rabbi Yochanan Brokehi because we said maybe Rabbi Yochanan Brokehi wouldn't say it about a fetus, right? But we just said before that Rabbi Yossi holds that an Uber is posel, and the only thing is Rabbi Yossi only held that it works for Yerusha Bameilav. But maybe if you put Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka together with Rabbi Yossi, then you could have the author of our Mishnah. That here you have, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, as long as the person is a Yoresh, you can alter the percentages of the Yerusha. And Rabbi Yossi holds that the fetus is a Yoresh, and the Yerusha Bameilav, he's considered a Yoresh, he's considered to be an owner of those Avadim. So answers the Gemara, that's great. It would work if Rabbi Yochanan in fact held like Rabbi Yossi, but mi emar de savala. Who says Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka holds like Rabbi Yossi? You're making that up. That doesn't exist. If it did exist, you're right. That would be the author of our Mishnah. But where do we ever hear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka holds like Rabbi Yossi? So says the Gemara, possibility number five. Velei melei bimif sarni. Maybe the Mishnah is not talking about a man who says, if my wife gives birth to a baby boy, I'm going to give the boy $100. No, maybe what the Mishnah is really talking about is a guy who says, anyone who comes and tells me my wife gave birth to a baby boy is going to get $100. So the person who's going to deliver the news is already Bali Olam. So it has nothing to do with Mizakal Ubar. Forget about Bali Olam, it has nothing to do with Mizakal Ubar. You're not being Mizaka anything to the baby. You're being Mizaka to the guy who's delivering the good news, the bearer of the good news. So Ihach, he says the Gemara, nah, but if that's what the Mishnah means, the Ketani Seif of Yemein Shem Yorish Elohu Yorish Hakol, The Sefer of the Mishnah says, if the only Yoresh is the Tumtum, so he gets everything, well, if we're talking about, we're not even talking about a Yoresh, we're talking about the guy who's giving the news, so what are we talking about Yerusha? Why do we switch gears in the middle of the Mishnah and shift to Yerusha? So that doesn't seem like the Pasha Pshat of the Mishnah at all. It sounds from the Mishnah that you're really trying to give to the Uber himself. So possibility number six, V'leimalei b'sheyolda. Maybe the case is when the father says, if my wife gives birth to a baby boy, I want him to have $100, and then it turns out she had already given birth to the baby boy. Maybe that's when he gets $100, because then you're not being mezaka l'uber at all. You're being mezaka to a child who's already born. He was already born at the time that the guy made that statement. So says the Gemara, "Na ihachi dektani seifa v'imamra kol ma sheteled ishti yitol hareze yitol kol sheteled kol sheyolda mibayilei." Instead of saying the seifa of the Mishnah where it says whatever my wife gives birth to should get this present, so it says good kol sheteled. So why does it say kol sheteled? It should be kol sheyolda. Anyone, whatever she actually has already given birth to, should get the Yerusha. If it's only talking about, if it only works in cases where she's already given birth because Mizakaluba Lokana, then the language of the Mishnah is imprecise. It should say that she's already given birth. It shouldn't say that she will give birth. So possibility number six is also rejected. So the seventh and final possibility. What's the Gemara talking about? What's the Mishnah rather talking about when it seems to assume that you can be mezakah to your unborn child $100? So it says the Gemara, V'leimalei da'amar l'kishet eled. Maybe we're assuming that the guy said l'kishet eled. That the guy actually said, not that the unborn fetus should get the $100 now, that the unborn fetus should get the $100 when he's born. So I don't want the kinyan to be chal until he's born. So then it will work. I'll just say likashet eled, and that's and it doesn't even get into mezaka l'ubar. Rav Huna l'taimei, and this is Rav Huna l'shitaso, dam Rav Huna af likashet eled lo kana. So the Gemara says that why didn't Rav Huna suggest that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Likashet Eled? That seems to solve all the problems, right? Possibility number seven seems to solve all the problems. Why didn't Rav Huna give that answer when challenged from our Mishnah? Because Rav Huna Lishitaso holds that it doesn't work. Saying Likashet Eled doesn't make anything any better. Why not? Dam Rav Nachman Hamazakalu Berlo Kana Likashet Eled Kana. Rav Nachman holds that if you're mezaka l'ubar to a fetus, that does not work. But if you're mezaka l'ubar l'kishet eled, that will work. Rav Huna amar af l'kishet eled lo kana. And Rav Huna says, nah, l'kishet eled doesn't solve anything. You're mezaka l'ubar lo kana, you're mezaka to l'ubar l'kishet eled is lo kana. Either way, it's not going to work. That's why Rav Huna didn't want to say that that's pshat in our Mishnah, because Rav Huna holds it doesn't work anyway. So it wouldn't even work as pshat in our Mishnah. Rav Sheshes amar echad zev echad zev kana. Rav Sheshes happens to hold either way it's going to be kona. Mezaka l'uber is kona, and mezaka l'uber l'kishetelet obviously is going to be kona. What does this l'kishetelet do? Why does Rav Nachman hold that it makes the difference if you say l'kishetelet, if you don't say l'kishetelet? So if you look at the Rashbam, l'kishetelet kona, says the Rashbam, afal gav, the polygraph Rav Nachman about mocher peros dekel lechavero, damar af mishabo liolam yochol lachsrabo deina the machna davar shaloba liolam. Rav Nachman agrees that a person can't be machna davar shaloba liolam. Rav Nachman agrees that if you try to sell peros dekel that don't yet exist, fruits of a tree that have not yet grown, that the kinyan is totally invalid. Hacha gabe uber modu duchashiv lekiyeshno baolam, says the Rashbam, a tremendous chiddush. What Rav Nachman is saying is, a fetus is in the world already. Take a sonogram, look, it's there. It's not something that's not yet in the world. It's in the world already. And the items that you're giving him are in the world. You're not trying to give him something that doesn't exist yet. The only thing is, you have to be careful in the way you phrase how the kinyan is going to work, because although the uber is in the world, he's not a bar kinyan yet. Since he's not someone who's able to make a kinyan yet, you need to alter your lashon to make sure that you say yes, that the kinyan is going to be l'kishet eled. But he is ba'olam. You're not being mezakeh to davar she'eno ba'olam. He is ba'olam. That's how That's how the Rashbam learns the Shita of Rav Nachman. Now, Tosos, the Rashba and the Ritva, Tosos not here, but Tosos and Mesachs Ksubas Dav Zayin, and Tosos and Mesachs Gittin Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, say that according to Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman and Rav Huna actually, meaning, based on the Rashbam, what does it seem that Rav Nachman and Rav Huna argue about? That according to Rav Nachman, according to everyone, you can't be Mezaka Davar Shalom Beliolam, or Tua Davar Shalom Beliolam. You can't be makna something to something that does not yet exist. What does Rav Nachman say, though? The Uber exists already. Take the sinogram, you'll see. He exists already. So that's the fundamental machlokas. Is an Uber davar shelo b'liolam? That seems to be the machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Huna according to the Rashbam. Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas, and Gittin Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Ksubas Dav Zayin Amud Beis, and the Rashbam and the Ritva over here all say that Rav Nachman and Rav Huna are actually arguing b'svaros hafuchos. They hold the exact opposite of each other. According to Rav Nachman, Adam makne lidavar shelo b'liolam. In fact, the Uber is not b'liolam. You're allowed to be makne to a davar shelo b'liolam. You're only not allowed to be makne a davar shelo b'liolam. Meaning, the object of the kinyan, the object, what you're actually being makne, cannot be has to be b'olam. But to whom you're being makne does not have to be b'olam. The Uber himself, he's not Bali Olam, but that doesn't matter. It's okay if he's not Bali Olam. That's Rav Nachman Shita. Rav Huna holds, no. Adam Makna Davar Shalom Bali Olam. You can be Makna Davar Shalom Bali Olam. You only can't be Makna Li Davar Shalom Bali Olam. The exact opposite. He holds the item that you're being Makna, that could be Lo Bali Olam. But the person who's making the Kinyan, that you're being Makna to, he needs to be Ba'olam. That's Rav Huna's Shita, exact opposite svaras of each other. Agos Ashri writes, Nafkamina between the Rashbam and Tosos is if you're mocher uber behemto. What if you sell the uber of your behema? Right? I'm not selling my behema, I'm selling the uber inside of my behema. So according to Rav Nachman, according to Rashbam's understanding that the uber is considered ba'olam, so fine, I'm selling something good. I'm selling something that's ba'olam, and therefore it's a good mechira. But according to Tosus' view, that an Uber is considered lo bali olam, so then it's not going to work, because I can only be, Rav Nachman holds that it's, you could be makna lemi she'eno ba'olam, but you can't be makna a davar she'eno ba'olam. So then it would not work, that you can't be makna an Uber of a behema. Rav Elchanan writes, another nafkamina, Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitz Shiurim, in those tough sadi bays, a nafkamina that according to Tosfos, that it's efsha lahaknos lidavar shalom b'liolam, that you could be makna to a davar shalom b'liolam, you could be makna luubar l'sheivaled, even before your wife is pregnant. Meaning, if the whole vard of Rav Nachman is that you don't even need the person who's being kona to be b'liolam, so what do you need your wife to even be pregnant for? She doesn't even need to be a fetus. Just be makna to the davar shalom b'liolam. She doesn't even need to be pregnant. But according to Rashi, Rashbam, etc., no, everyone holds the fetus has to be Bali Olam. And the fetus is considered, and that's the machlokas, is the fetus considered Bali Olam or not? So then Rav Nachman's din would only be if the fetus is there, not before the wife is pregnant. So that would be another nafkamina between the Rashbam's understanding and Tosfos' understanding of Shitas Rav Nachman. But either way, we had a third Shita. And the third Shita was Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh kane. You want to be makna to the Ubar? That's fine. You want to be makna to the Ubar likshetelet? Also fine. It all works. So I'm Rav Sheshes, sixth line from the top of the page on Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Sheshes, Mina Aminala. How do I know that it's true that you could be makna to a fetus? You could be makna to a fetus l'kashateled. Tanya, I learned from the following brisa. Ger shemes. Let's say a ger dies. So the halacha normally is if a ger dies and he doesn't leave any relatives, so all of his possessions become hefker. So here you have a ger shemes who bizbizu yisrael nechasav. So yisrael comes and takes all of his nechasim. They're all hefker, right? V'shamu sheyesh lo ben o shoyse ishtomu uberes. And then he hears, uh-oh, he had a son. Or he hears that the wife of this ger was pregnant, chayavan lahachzir. He has to go and give back all that money. Says Rashbam, right there is araya, chayavan lahachzir. Kivan de ishto muberes, says Rashbam, ubar yoresh havi, alma mezakal ubar kana. So you see, the ubar is an owner of this property. So you see, the ubar has kinyanim, because you have to go and give back all the property, because the ubar is already the yoresh. So there, that's it. That's the raya, that an ubar is kona. problem is that it doesn't sound like that's the raya from the Gemara, because it goes on. Hichziru akol v'achar kach shamu shemes b'no, o shei pili ishto, hichzik b'shniya kano b'rishon lo kana. So what happens? The guy takes all the ger stuff, and then he hears, the wife is pregnant. So he gives it all back, right? And then, after he gives it all back, he hears, that the word gets out that the wife had a miscarriage. So what does everyone do? So people go back and they try to take it again. They loot the ger's possessions again. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha? The first kona wasn't kona anything. The first one who tried to take wasn't kona anything, because at that time there was an ubar, and the ubar was the rightful rightful yoresh. The second one, he's the one that's kona everything, because he did it after the ubar was already dead. So he's the one that's really kona everything. So, if you hold that an Uber is not kona anything, why do you need to make a second kinyan? Your first kinyan already worked. Meaning, if you hold that the Uber is a nobody, the Uber doesn't really have any kinyanim, and the only reason you had to return it was out of respect, maybe the Uber is going to be born, and when he's born, he deserves to have it. So then, why would you need to go make a second kinyan? It turned out the Uber was never born, and if he was never born, he never owned it. So therefore, you owned it from your first kinyan. Why would you need to go make the second kinyan? So that's what really seems to be the raya. The raya seems to be not just from the fact that you have to be machzirin in the first place. Rashbam seemed to say, chayev lahachzir, already we have a raya that an Uber is the owner. No. It could very well be, and we shown him right this way, the Shidim Betzis and the name of Tosu Rosh, the Chayiv Lahachzir is not because the Uber owns it. Chayiv Lahachzir is because the Uber, when he's born, will own it. So you're not allowed to go and start messing around with something that he's omid lirush, that he's going to get when he's born. The raya that the Uber owns it is the fact that if the Uber is never born, your kinyan still didn't work. And you have to go make a second kinyan. So that's the raya that while he was still a fetus, he was really the rightful. He was really the rightful owner of it. Rav Elchanan asks. Rav Elchanan writes in Kovit Shiurim and Chelik Beis Simin Yud Beis. He says, wait a second. If the Uber has no zechia, and until he's born, he's not an owner of anything. How could it be that someone who made the kinyan as soon as the ger died? Now let's assume Zakal Uber lo kana, right? So what are we saying? Meaning there's no raya from that first line. That first line that says that as long as there's an ubar in the mother's womb, the guy has to go be machzir. Right? Why is there no raya? Because even if the ubar doesn't own it, you have to be machzir, because you have to admit when the ubar is born, he's going to own it. So ask Rav Elchanan, why does that matter? That when the ubar is going to be born, I was already zocher from hefker. As soon as the ger dies, it's hefker. His ubar can't be kona anything. So I was already zocher from hefker. The Uber is going to be born, has the right to retroactively take away a kinyan that I made. If the father sold it to me, when the Uber is born, would he be allowed to take it away from me? Vaday not. So why, when I'm Zocha from Efker, should the Uber being born be allowed to take it away from me afterwards? Why would that even work? So Rav Elchanan explains that, no. You have to understand, he says, there are two dinim over here. There's a din of Yerusha, and there's a din of Kam Tachtav. The din of Yerusha in Achinami. The Uber is not yet ready to be make any kinyan Yerusha. But Kam Tachtav, the din that the Uber is in the place of his father, and therefore there's a hemsheikh of the ownership of these possessions, that still applies. That still applies to the Uber. And therefore, you're going to have to give it back. He says, Mashal Ma Dover Dome, gives a very interesting mashal. He says, let's say, where does he give this mashal? He says, let's say the following were to take place. The father dies, the ger dies, you go and you grab all of his nechasim, and then he has tchias amesim, comes back to life. Right? So for sure he can say, give me my stuff back. So he says, that's exactly what's going on over here. That's the nimshal over here. Meaning, kam tachtav is a din that the Uber is considered a hemsheikh of the father. So it's not a din of Yerusha of kinyanim. It's that he is the father. So he's a hemshe, he's kam tachtav of the father. It's ki'ilu, the father, at chiyas ha-mesim, when the Uber is born. And that's why he goes and gets the Yerusha, not because of kinyanim. Okay, fine. But back in the Gemara, so the Gemara just tried to prove how Rav Sheshes knows the mezakel Uber kana from this brisa, right? That in this brisa we see that if you go and you loot the nichse ager, and then it turns out that there's an Uber, right? Any of your kinyanim that you made were totally invalid, And if the Uber is miscarried, you have to go and make a new kinyan again, because the Uber was the owner. That's how Rav Sheshes proved it. Amar Abaye says in Gemara, no, maybe that's not so at all. Yerusha ba me'aleh shiny. Maybe that's only because that was a typical Yerusha that he stands to receive without any extras. Rava Amar Rava says, I'll give you a different answer. Shiny hasam de rafim arpion biyadayu me'ikare. He says, no, you know why the first kinyan was no good? You didn't really have full das to be kone it. Initially, when you were kone it, you didn't know. Maybe there's an Uber, maybe... You know, you always had in the back of your mind that there's going to be a Yoresh who maybe is entitled to it. So had you known originally that there was no Yoresh at all, right, then, Enochinami, you would... Meaning your ability to make a kinyan is very strong. But since you think that there is a Yoresh that might be entitled to it, you don't have the full das to make a kinyan. That's why your first kinyan didn't work in that case. My b'nai, what's the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava's explanation of why your first kinyan doesn't work? Ike b'nai sheshamu bo shemes v'lo mes v'achar kach mes. Nafkamina is, you heard that he had died, he hadn't died, and then he died. Meaning you heard that he had died, you made the kinyan thinking that the Uber is dead, so therefore what? You thought the Uber was dead when you made the kinyan, means you had full das to make that kinyan. Because at the time you made the kinyan, you thought there was no Yoresh. So you thought you were making the kinyan in full. So according to Rava, that the only reason your kinyan didn't work is because you weren't having full das. Well, in this case, you do have full das. According to Abaye, that the reason the kinyan doesn't work is because Yerusha Abba Me'eleha. Well, this is still a case of Yerusha Abba Me'eleha, and therefore the kinyan still shouldn't work. So that's the nafkamina between the two cases. That's how the Rashbam explains. It's a long Rashbam, but that's essentially what he explains. He points out, Rashbam writes, Lashonos Rabim Shamati V'lo Yashru Be'inai. He says, I've heard a lot of different explanations of this line of the Gemara. I don't like any of them, except for the one that I hold. And he basically says this explanation of the Gemara. Okay, period. So again, we're still trying to bring rayas in the general sugya, Mizakal Uber Kano or Mizakal Uber Lokana. Can I be makna something to a fetus? This is the primary sugya and shas of Mezakalu Uber. Tasha, it comes up in a few places, but this is the primary sugya. Tashma, Tinok ben Yom Echad, Nochel Umanchil. If a child is one day old, that's good enough for him not only to Yarshin, he can be Manchil, he can hand over Yerusha to others. So ben Yom Echad in Uber Lo. Ah! So you see, only if he's ben Yom Echad, if he's one day old. But if he's only an Uber, he's not even one day old, then he can't be Nochel Manchil. So says Gemara, Ha'amar Rav Sheshes, Nochel, meaning, and therefore that's a raya that an Uber is not Kona, that Uber can't make Kinyanim. Ha'amar Rav Sheshes, Nochel B'nichseyeim, L'Hanchil L'Achiv Mina'av. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if you actually learn that Sugi and Eruchin, where it says this line of Nochel Manchil, you know what it means that he can be Manchil? The Gemara over there asks. The Gemara says, Nochel Manchil, what does it mean that he can be Manchil? Why do you need him to be Manchil? What do we think it means? That a man has children, right? So let's say he has three children. So they each receive a portion of his Yerusha, right? There's Tinok Yom Echad on the day the man dies. So that Tinok got his Chelek of Yerusha. And therefore, when the Tinok dies, as a Yom Echad, his Chelek of Yerusha gets split amongst his brothers. So frak the Gemara. And let's say he doesn't have the ability to be Manchil. So then how do we view it? That it came straight from the father. So it still gets split amongst the brothers. What difference does it make if it comes from him or if it comes from the father? So what's the whole idea of Manchil anyway? Of a Tinok ben Yom Echad being Manchil? So the Gemara says, no, the case of being Manchil is that he receives the Yerusha from his mother, right? All these brothers don't have the same mother, they're the same father. This Tinok ben Yom Echad receives the Yerusha from his mother, and when he dies, he passes that Yerusha on to his brothers. But if he was an Uber, he wouldn't be able to do that. So anyway, but the Gemara says, Nochel b'nichseyem l'hanchel l'achim l'av, v'dafka ben yom echad aval Uber lo. And that's why we dafka talk about that he has to be born, that an unborn child can't be manchil, the nichseyem to his brothers. You know why? My taima, you know, the reason that it can't be an Uber is not because an Uber can't be kona things, it's because to whom my inspiration, if a mother dies and she's pregnant, the baby dies before the mother. The assumption is automatically the baby's dying before the mother. If the baby's dying before the mother, of course he's not yarshining his mother and then handing it over to his brothers. That's why the example given is a case of a Tinok Yom Echad, that he's one day old when he's yarshining and then passing it on to his brothers. Because if he weren't born yet, if he was still inside the mother, he couldn't yarshin her. There's no way, because she would always die second. He would always die first. So he would never be able to yarshin his mother in that case. Since the whole hechitim, so the whole chiddush of that whole idea of manchil is that he's taking his mother's yerusha and passing it on to his brothers min ha'av, well, that only makes sense if he dies after his mother. But by definition, if his mother's pregnant with him, and he dies, and she dies, right, he's going to die first, because that's the assumption. Veina ben Yorisha Simo Bekever. A ben can't yarshin his mother Bekever. Rashash points out Lav Dafka Bekever, it means when he's dead. He doesn't have to actually be in a kever. Lahan chilachin mina'av. He can't yarshin his mother Bekever. Right? If the baby died first, you don't say, oh, then the mother dies, then the dead baby receives the Yerusha of the mother, and since he's dead, it goes on to his brothers. No. The Yerusha will go to the mother's relatives from somebody else, from the other, from wherever her next closest relative is. It doesn't go to a dead son to then get passed on to his brothers mina'av. So that's why he picked the case. That's not a raya at all, therefore. The fact that it says, Tinok ben yom echad. Why do we assume, humayis bereisha, that if a pregnant woman dies, that the baby inside of her must have died first? So says Tosos, Vaynatay mekadom perakam deirchin, daidi zutruch yusei, aile le tipasa de malacham avas umechadcha le simanim. He's more vulnerable to the malacham avas because he's just a little guy. So the little fetus inside is going to be immediately destroyed by the Malach HaMavis before the mother is affected by the Malach HaMavis. That's the assumption. Frek tells us there are Gemaras all over Shas of cases where a mother dies and the baby is still born and the baby survives. We talk about a case where you shech the behema and you find a live baby inside the behema, right? Does the baby need shechita? Does not need shechita? Midrabban, midaraisa? It doesn't. Ben pakua. Right, that's a major sugya Maseches Chulin. Haynu dafka kishashachta o harga. So Tosfos makes a very interesting chiluk. He says, yeah, you know when a baby can be alive even though the mother's dead? That's only if a human being shechted or killed the mother. But when the Malach HaMavis gets the mother, then the baby always dies first. He says, haynu dafka kishashachta o harga sha'az himesa tchila k'damrin parakama de'erichin. V'hadu amar ba'ashokhe, that which the Gemara says in Chulin, demesa ima v'hadu yaladita. When it says a mother dies and then she gives birth, that's also only if she was killed by a person, not if she died from the Malach HaMavis. Inami, or you could say, the other possibility is if the baby's already on his way out. If the baby's already on his way out, then the Malach HaMavis visits, it could be that the mother will die and not the baby. But those are the only possibilities. If the baby's firmly entrenched inside the mother and he's not, the labor has not yet begun, then if the mother's going to die, the baby will always die first if it's by natural causes, unless it's a murder. So frektosos, but wait a second, as long as you have a possibility of a case of a regular malach hamaves, right, a regular natural death, and the baby dying after the mother, which we do have, if the baby's on his way out, we have such a possibility. Why don't we say that that's what's going on in our Mishnah? The Kivan Nim Tomer, Kivan de Bahariga, O Nerka Latzeis, Havi Maisa Beresha, Vla Vlad, Imkena Maynakat Ben Yomechad, Uber Nami Nochel Manchil. Why does the Mishnah Nerichin say that a Ben Yomechad is Nochel Manchil? Say an Uber is Nochel Manchil. Aye, our Gemara said, no, you can't say an Uber is Nochel Manchil because the mother's always going to die after the baby. Not true. If the baby's on his way out, the baby can die after the mother. So the Yeshlomar de Ben Yomechad psikalei avul buuber lo psikalei the missing nochel manchil. He says no, because a Ben Yomechad is always going to be dying after the mother, where meaning it's very clear that it dies after the mother, whereas the ubar sometimes has to die before the mother, sometimes doesn't. So we'd rather not give the case of the ubar. We'd rather give a more definitive case of the Ben Yomechad. The Ktsos has a different yishuv for this kash of Tosos. Ktsos says, based on Tosos Maseches Nida, that if the mother dies before the ubar, the ubar is no longer considered an ubar. I mean, Tosos Nida says that if a mother dies and there's a baby inside of her, even though it hasn't come out yet, he's considered born. If it's still alive and the mother's dead, the baby's considered born. So there's no such thing as an uber being nochel manchil, because by definition, if the mother died first, he's not an uber. He's a yalud. He's already born. So there's nothing to talk about. He's already a born baby. Good. So that's the assumption of nafkamina is the halacha is if you're horig uber, you're not chayiv misa. If you kill an uber, you're not chayiv misa. If you kill a live person, an already born person, you're chayiv misa. Let's say the mother died and then you kill the uber. Didn't come out yet. So Tosfos says, Chayiv Misa. it's not an Uber anymore. It's already a born baby. So based on that, we understand very well that there's no such thing as an Uber being Nochel Manchil, because by definition, he's already a Yom Echad. Okay, says the Gemara, L'meimru duhu ma'is b'reisha, v'avu uvdu pirchas tasa perchusei. Do you mean to say that the baby always dies before the mother? We had a Maisa once where the mother died and the baby was still hopping around. Tlasa perchusei, three hops, three jumps. Tos says it means that he was mefarches up until three parsaos, the amount of time that it takes to walk three parsaos. So Amar Baravashi, Mididava, Zanav Haltash, Mefarcheses. He says, yeah, you ever see that when you cut off a weasel, the tail starts jumping around and moving around even though it's already dead? It could be dead and it will still move around. You cut off the head of a chicken, the chicken jumps around for a while. Doesn't mean anything. Marbre, Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava, Amar Lomar, Shemait Bechelek Bechora. V'dafka ben yom echad aval uber lo. The idea that we say that the uber is nochel manch, that the tinok ben yom echad is nochel manch, and we don't say about an uber, is because, granted, sometimes the mother dies before the baby, right? And the uber can be manchil to the brothers min ha'av. But the chiddush that we want to say is that he's memait chelik b'chora, that the Tinok ben Yom Echad will take away from the Chelek Bechora of the other brothers. But that's only if he's a Tinok Yom Echad. That's why we chose the case of Tinok Yom Echad, not because an Uber can't be Kone. An Uber can be Kone. And an Uber can be alive after his mother dies. The point is, though, we wanted to give a case where you're going to be memait the Chelek Bechora of the Bechor brother. And that an Uber is not going to be able to do. Aval Uber lo, my time, why can an Uber not be memait Chelek Bechora? V'yoldu lo amarachmana, mar breder of Yosef Mishmei Rav, a ben shenol lachar misas aviv, eino memait b'chelek b'chora, a son that's born after the misa of the father is not going to be memait how much of a pishnayim the b'chor gets. My taima, v'yoldu lo amarachmana v'haleka, because the pasuk says v'yoldu and he is not yet born. B'suru masnu hachim, p'mbedisa masnu hachim, p'mbedisa they taught it slightly differently. Amar marbreid Rav Yosef Mishmei Rav, a b'chor shenol lachar misas aviv, eino notel pishnayim. What if a b'chor is born after the father dies? So you can't get pishnayim. How is a Bechor born after the father dies? Bechor implies that there's a Pashut. Otherwise, if there's only one son, he gets everything. So you have to say it's, Rashbam points out, you have to say it's twins, or the guy had impregnated multiple women before he died. Right? So something like that. The Bechor does not get Pishnayim if he's born after the father dies. My taima, Yakir Amar Rachmanav Alessa de Yakir. Because the Pashut says you have to be Makir, the Ben HaBechor, and he doesn't exist yet to be Makir him. V'hilchsa k'kal ani lishin damar marbreid Rav Yosef mishmei Rav. When we pass him like all these lishonos, marbreid Rav Yosef says in the name of Rava. Now Rashbam points out, let's say the father never knew the Bechor. He was born while the father was alive, but the father never met the child. Still, that's called Yakir. Yakir only means that it's ro'i lahakiro. It's called a ro'i labila in bila makeves, but you don't actually need that the father is actually makir the child. Okay, we're a little bit behind. We're going to have to make up some ground tomorrow. Okay, pick up 20 lines from the bottom tomorrow.